This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock on Friday, which means it's Back Row and Chill. We've got a huge show coming up for you today. We've got some really awesome guests in the studio. We've got Tom Stade, who's a comedian. He's going to be talking to us about his tour and his Edinburgh Fringe show, and also a little bit about Michael McIntyre. Really, really excited to speak to him. We also have Ellie Kendrick from Game of Thrones talking to us about her new movie, The Leveling. Also super cool. We've got Lucy Patterson, our resident film reviewer, coming in at 5:30, and we're going to be telling you guys what is cool and what is really shit in the movie world at the moment. We've also got entertainment news coming up in a little bit. I'm joined today by Tej World, TJ, because Noel is out and about and doing very famous Noel Clark things. So not to worry, Tej is going to be joining me. So stay tuned. The next 2 hours are going to be movie packed. And I'm going to start off today with one of my favourite movie soundtrack songs of the week. It was the opening song in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So if you've seen it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. This was probably one of the best openings to a movie I've ever seen. So we're going to get straight in there with Mr. Blue Sky by Electric Light Orchestra. This is Back Row and Chill. think that song wins an award for like the longest finale.
Yeah, it goes on.
What do they call it?
A crescendo? I know you got crescendo when it goes up, and what do you call it when it builds down? I don't know. An enshendo.
It's an enshendo.
If you know, let us know. Tweet us.
Tweet us. I think we're ready. That sounds like a new Justin Bieber song.
What, enshendo?
Enshendo.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber's getting all Spanish on his latest single.
Is it? I know he's got that one with the DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled does love his son.
They love it.
He loves his son. They've got that one with DJ Khaled, lots of people and stuff like that on that tune. And Lil Wayne and all those people. And his son produces the video, like he's the place the director, which is really cute. But Justin Bieber, I'm slightly a fan, you know.
You know what? I'm becoming a believer.
Can you imagine? And also, who's the other one from what's the boys' group now? What's they called again?
Harry Styles.
Harry Styles. Yeah, that's trying to. I can see his face.
Getting all mainstream.
Yeah, but he's got all like Rocky and stuff. I'm slightly a fan, but don't tell no one though. Keep it between us.
We'll keep on down and everyone listening. Right, it's Back Row and Chill. It's Johanna James, and I'm joined today by
Teach World. How you doing, people?
Awesome. And we're going to be chatting to you a little bit about what's going on in the world of movies, entertainment, TV, a little bit of social media as well.
Nice.
And we want you guys to get involved. So if you want to email in anything to us, it's chill@foobarradio.com. We will shout you out. Let us know what kind of movies you're into, what you're looking at the moment, what you find shit as well. Just, you know, spread by word of mouth. Warn us so we don't waste our time or money I'm watching a crap movie, because I hate that when you spend like 10-15 quid to go to the cinema and then the movie's shite.
Yeah, I miss that Orange Wednesdays and stuff like that. Do you know, like when you used to get the discount tickets and stuff on Wednesday? But there are other ways around it. Maybe we could have a little look and see how you can get some cheapest options and stuff like that.
Well, I know if you're in London, the cheapest cinema that I found is the Peckhamplex, the multiplex in Peckham.
Peckham.
It's $4.95 for everyone all day.
Wait, what, every day?
Yeah, every day, all the time.
What? I know.
You could do a cinema date for under a tenner.
Swear down.
Just saying. Hey,
I love a cheap date. I think, I know that the Genesis Cinema in Myland, I think it's on Tuesday or Wednesday, has a cheap cinema day as well. And they've also got this thing called Studio 5 as well, where you get a little sofa. Yeah,
nice.
And you get a footrest, so you can kick off your jacket, put it in the footrest. You get a blanket, can get alcohol, just a little love seat. You know,
that's
two seats.
That's a baby making cinema.
You know what I'm saying? You're me. It's gonna go down in the cinema
for sure.
What do you call that? Down in the CM? That could be a new tune, maybe.
That could be the spin-off show there. Right. So something weird's happening today. Obviously, yesterday it was May the 4th.
You May the 4th be with you.
Exactly. And today on Twitter, the trending hashtag is #. Superhero Day.
Okay.
So people are talking about superheroes, which is kind of relevant because both of us just went to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yay.
Awesome film.
We'll be talking about that later, right?
Yeah, we're going to be reviewing that later because that was so good. And so I'm having a little look on the tweets here about what hashtag Superhero Day is all about.
Okay.
And we've got someone here, worst superhero ever, and it's a photo of a barrier man. So those people that hold the barriers at festivals and stuff. You've got to have respect to them, though. That's a lot of crowd control.
I like it. I reckon if I was a superhero, my power would be I would like to maybe teleport. I think teleport to places or time travel.
So, okay, teleport, that's the lazy man's option. Just saying.
But I don't want to fly. I don't like heights. Imagine flying across the Atlantic Ocean. I'm going to be bricking it all the way across the sea. Like, and I hit a storm as well, then I get electrocuted. I'm not about that life.
Can you imagine if your superpower was you could fly, but you were afraid of heights?
Exactly.
You would suck.
Like, that's what I'm saying. And imagine, like, you've got to fly. Say it's going to take me 8 hours to get somewhere. If I could teleport, I could just be like, boom, boom, I'm there.
Done.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I see what you are.
But if I could time travel as well, I'd like to go forward and back, not just backwards.
I'd be too scared.
But back would be good because I'd be living it up, boy. I'd be mad rich. Everyone I know would be rich.
Okay.
Trust me.
I was like, how far back do you want to go, though?
I don't know. Just back to like the last lotto thing, innit?
Oh, okay.
So each week I'd do a friend.
So basically fraud. You want to use time travel for fraud?
Hey.
Not for saving the world. Killing Hitler, all of those ones, no?
Yeah. But you know what? I would want to, you know, the butterfly effect and that. I'm not trying to do too much, innit, you know? You know, shit happens and then you die, innit, yeah? So like, I'm just out here for me and my bedrooms, innit? I'm joking. I probably would do something good, but I'd give money to people and so on and so forth. But I don't know about killing anybody, like, because, I don't know, shit happens for a reason, I guess?
Shit happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Quote from Teej World.
Hashtag Teej World.
So, you guys out there, let us know, what is probably, like, the worst superhero power that you guys would do? Let us know on the Twitter. Yeah, tweet us at FUBAR Radio. What would be the worst one? So I think maybe flying if you're afraid of heights, that'd be pretty shit. Or maybe just something like...
I don't know.
If you were invisible but only in the dark?
Invisible but only in the dark.
Like, what a shit. It's like, I'm invisible but only in the dark. Only so in like, the see? Nah, mate, I can't see.
Hey, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Or what if, yeah, you could breathe underwater but you can't swim?
So... Okay. Yeah,
this means that
it.
You can do it, but you ain't really got the stroke and stuff like that. You're still struggling, but you can breathe underwater. So you're just sinking, yeah, and stuff like that. Because me, I can swim, but I can't tread water. So basically, if I stop, I'm fucked.
Wow, you just got to keep going.
I got to keep going.
Lapping.
Exactly. Like, if I was in the Titanic, that woman be straight off the flipping, you know what she... Jack, no. Get the fuck off the fucking, whatever, wooden raft, right? I need this, okay?
Share the door.
Share the door, darling. Share the door. What would your superpower be, Jana?
Well, I'm thinking, like, superpowers would just be, like, a heightened, like, whatever you've got already.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm quite emotional and intense and crazy, so I'm just imagining that my superpower would just be like psycho powers or something, or maybe I'd be like hyper emotional or something.
So you'd just be a really bad girlfriend, basically.
Pretty much.
My superpower would be being a bad girlfriend.
My superpower.
The worst girlfriend in.
Or maybe like
stressor girl.
I'd be able to. So at the moment, I've also actually this
go
is
on,
I've almost got a superpower at the moment. I can
really?
Read my boyfriend's thoughts.
Pardon?
I'm developing it. I can read his thoughts. Literally.
Okay, maybe
which I don't really like because I know what he's thinking and I know when he's thinking bad things.
Really? Maybe his face is too telling, or maybe we need to call the guy in the white jacket.
No.
Are you sure we don't need to rule you out?
He's confirmed because I can look at him and I go, "You're thinking about this," and he goes, "How do you know?"
Oh my gosh! But can you read lips? Because you know, like you're partially deaf, right?
Yeah.
Are you good at reading lips?
I can read.
That's
lips.
Technically a superpower.
So wow, being deaf is a superpower. Thank you, Chief.
That's what I'm saying. A bit like, what's his name? The Daredevil. He's blind. But it's a superpower. So it's not a, you know. So check it out. You've kind of got superpowers already,
Jana.
Yeah, I
think they should do a superhero movie about me, about being deaf, but I can, like, hear stuff and feel. Oh, yeah, I can hear people's thoughts, but I'm deaf. Boom. Where's Noel? We need to write this down.
Oh, my God. So you can't hear, but you can hear. Oh my God, hey, I just entered the Matrix right now.
Exactly.
Yo, pause right there.
Boom. Okay, well, maybe we should move on to films that are actually being made.
Okay, so just to remind them, we need to get their worst superhero powers. Yeah, they need to let us know. Is that what you
said? Yeah, so if you could let us know, guys out there, the worst, see if you can beat my invisible but only in the dark superpower.
Great.
Tweet us at FUBAR Radio. And we're going to be running a poll today as well because it is hashtag superhero day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be running a poll on which superhero movie should they stop making? Can they just let it die, please, for God's sake, Marvel. Right? So we're going to be doing Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, or Avengers. So head over to the Twitter.
Okay.
We're
going
to be running the poll as of now. Let us know which one should we like try and hashtag to stop.
Yes, we should kill it here. We should have a funeral for it here with a nice funeral song. And
we'll send it off. We'll pay respects.
Off, yes.
You know, we're not like not human, but yeah.
We'll bury it right here. I'll go get a shovel in the break.
Good. Done.
Done.
Right, so I'm going to have a little bit of entertainment news now, and
nice.
I've got a new little entertainment news segment. It's the entertainment news on Back Row and Chill. What do you think of that?
Oh, hello, Jana! Wow, you got like la-di-da? Is that the word?
La-di-da. Yeah, I got a bit la-di-da there, didn't I?
That was quite cool.
Right, so what is coming up in the world of movies and TV? So House of Cards creator Bo Willimon, he is making a new TV series called The First, and it is about a Mars colonization. It's co-financed by Channel 4, so I'm hoping it's going to come out in England the same time as America.
Yes.
If we're putting money into it.
It's going to be on Channel 4.
I don't know if it's going to be, well, I assume so.
Yeah,
if Channel 4 put money into it, I don't think it was going to go to the BBC, but
it's true.
That'd be a mistake.
That's cool.
But it's all about, Mars colonization. It's going to be a series and it's going to be looking at like the struggles and the dramas around
Mars.
Living on Mars, a new
Like Mars as in Mars Bar?
No, Mars the planet.
Because
I mean, if you think about it, not only are you going to be like living on another planet, which is a bit like moving to a new country, but times a million. But also the extremes, if you're going to be stuck with the same, whatever, 12 people, 20 people. For the rest, they're the only other humans you are ever going to see. What if you hate them? What if you love them? What if you love and hate them?
Or what if all the ladies like one guy, or like all the guys like one guy, or you know, whatever, or the girl, you know, if you're not the popular one, basically.
That would be lame. And you've got no high school for life.
Exactly. And you've got no love. Everybody needs love. Imagine that.
I know.
You have to, like, maybe you couldn't. What about, would they get like a Mars Tinder in case you need to get love? They could like ship a girlfriend or boyfriend up to you.
It costs like millions of billions to send just one person, so they aren't gonna like ship a Tinder day over there.
Oh man.
Nah. But imagine if you got like Tinder like catfished all the way to Mars.
Or if they had like, they found like new aliens and stuff like that, and then you could just start dating different species. Maybe? That'd be cool. I mean,
interspecies dating?
Dating. I mean, I would date, like, you know, the green girl from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, for sure.
The pink one who he left in the ship, I'd date her as well.
Basically, like, all the funky coloured
The blue one from Avatar, she could get my number quickly.
Okay, ladies out there, if you're listening and you've got a weird, funny, primary colour skin colour,
yep.
Let Teacher know, he's down.
Hold at your boy!
So, a little bit more in the entertainment world. So, have you heard about this, about Ja Rule, who was going to set up a festival, and there's now a massive lawsuit.
Why?
Right, so he made a festival called the Fyre Festival, and it was going to be on a remote island in the Caribbean or the Maldives or somewhere, and it was basically going to be a celebrity festival that was going to top Coachella, and it was supposed to be like VIP luxury tickets was like thousands of pounds to go, and basically people bought tickets, they turned up, and it was like shitter than like a festival on Margate Beach. It was awful.
What?
And everyone's kicked up a fuss, and apparently people were feeling there wasn't even like enough water and like basic first aid and stuff. It was so bad.
What?
So now he's being sued for £100 million.
As if he weren't broke already.
I know, sorry Ja Rule.
What? But murder. Ouch. Oh my gosh. So did he even book acts? I mean, what?
I don't know. Maybe
he probably just had himself and I don't know. Me, myself and I. Ashanti might have been there, but
I don't know. But don't know. It's all gone to tits up, really.
Pete Tong, mate. Sad times.
Also in the news, Cheryl Cole and Liam Payne have had their baby. And did you hear what they called him?
What?
Just take a guess. So he's called...
No, there was already an apple, a peach, a sausage.
He's called Sonic. Bear.
I knew these people.
Which isn't that bad on its own, right?
What, B-A-R-E or B-E-A-R? Like bear is in the animal.
Bear is in the animal, right? So he's called Bear.
What
which
the fudge?
Isn't bad, but then you got to remember that his second name is Payne, because it's Liam Payne.
Bear!
So it's Bear Payne!
What have you done, darling? Oh my gosh, I thought like Northwest was bad. But this just got, there was...
Northwest and Bear Payne.
Bear Payne, Apple, what is going on? Bear. But I think it'd be cool if it was B-A-R-E, it could be like, Bear.
Bear.
No, it doesn't make any difference.
No, that also means you're calling your kid naked, technically.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which you don't want to do.
That's very true. What bear? What did? Are they? Why?
You're clearly speechless. Son.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a little moment. I think we should jump back into loads of the tracks that we're playing today are from Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Because if you haven't checked out the soundtrack, do it. It's absolutely awesome. So I think I'm going to go for Fox on the Run by The Sweet. This is Back Row and Chill.
Cause you don't look the same.
Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, guys. Welcome back.
Back row and chill. It is a beautiful day for Friday.
It is. And today, Johanna is joined by me, Teage World. Hello, I'm back and I'm loving it. And
he's had his coffee.
Yes.
Right, we're in the middle of talking about entertainment news, what's going on in the world, what's coming up in the world of film and TV. And I'm really excited about this. So they have announced that there is potentially going to be 4 Game of Thrones spin-off TV series. No, not excited. Oh my god, you don't watch Game of Thrones, do you?
I'm not a Game of Thrones fan. It's wasted on me. I'm so sorry. I want to be excited, but
get out.
I missed that one.
Just get out.
I didn't jump on the bandwagon soon enough, and now it's gone too far. And I can't jump on the train because it's gone past. It's at the end of the line. I can't.
23 million people watch Game of Thrones. It is the biggest HBO series ever.
Wow.
You love it. There are boobs everywhere on that show.
Hey.
Boobs and swords. Hey. Boobs and swords.
Hey, I am the breast specialist. Hey. No, joking.
That's your pervy words.
I'm joking.
But what's really cool is that what they've done is HBO have commissioned 4 writers to go ahead and think up like spin-off ideas. So you've got Max Borenstein, who did Kong Skull Island, which is a really sick film.
Yep.
You've got Jane Goldman, who did Kingsman and think like Kick-Ass.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
She's the wife of Jonathan Ross, which is really cool.
Oh, and she did that Stardust as well. She did Stardust.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she did. That was really
cool.
Good.
Yeah, so she's going to have
her,
one.
Love her.
Brian Hedgeland, who did Legend with Tom Hardy.
Yes.
And Carly Rae, who did Mad Men and The Leftovers. So, all of them are absolutely amazing.
So, are they all going to work together, or have they each
separately?
One?
Separately. So, they're all going to do separate spin-off fights. They must have been given a character and told,
go and think of the
world and the story and whatever.
That's really peculiar because I wonder how they've all got different styles. They're going to turn out really different. Yeah.
Well, they're all going to work. They're going to work individually with the creator George R.R. Martin. So it's going to stay. Completely within the Game of Thrones.
The same world.
I think he's probably going to heavily edit what they do, but still, I'm so excited.
I'm excited. Maybe I can get into the spin-off then. It's a chance for me to catch up and start again. I do have a couple of mates who've been in it who are in it. Natalie Emmanuel, she's still in it.
Oh, yeah, you know her, yeah?
Yeah, she plays a translator or something like this.
Yeah, to the Khaleesi.
She's
hot.
She's a friend.
She's a friend. Friend zone.
Anyway.
Yeah. I know some people from Game of Thrones, actually. I know Kerry Ingram, who she played the little girl with the scar on her face, who got burned.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I missed her. Was she in the early series?
She's not in the... you've seen it anyway.
I have seen a couple in the beginning. The
later
little girl.
Today on the show, we've got an interview with Ellie Kendrick, who is also in Game of Thrones. So stay tuned for that, anyone listening. If you didn't hear the start of the show, we're talking all about hashtag superhero day on Twitter. So we want you to get in touch with the show. Let us know, what is the shittest superhero power that you can think of? Let us know if you can top mine, which is being invisible in the dark. So let us know. Our Twitter is at FUBAR Radio. Go and just follow us anyway and just be cool. We put out some funny shit.
Go on everything. We've got every outlet going, yeah?
Just go check us out and everything. Just haul that. Haul that out. You know what I mean?
I like that.
Got those technological legs.
Wow. You're coming up with the sayings today, where
I'm on fire.
It's going to be like, quote, Johanna or something like that. You're going to be trending real soon. I'm feeling it.
Thank you, babe. Thank you. And so another bit of news. Emerald City has been cancelled by NBC after one season, which is a bit sad because I've heard some really, really good things about it. And we even had a guy from the show doing interviews. It's a bit sad because...
Emerald City, is that Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, it's set in the Emerald City of Wizard of Oz, but it's kind of... it's just a bit... I'm kind of scratching my head about why it did go under, because Game of Thrones is popular. Once Upon a Time is so popular, so obviously there's,
But I mean, they had Tin Man, which it's kind of been done. There's been a lot of Wizard of Oz spin-offs, so it's a bit
Leave the Oz world.
Do you know what I mean? How many Tin Mans and Lions can you make? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sad times, but hey, you win some and you lose some, eh?
Yeah, so maybe check it out. Let us know what you think of Emerald City. Maybe we could, they could try and get it back, because I remember the BBC, they cancelled Ripper Street. a couple of years back, and I was a massive Ripper Street fan. It was such a good series. And there was, they cancelled it, and the fans went, nah.
No, not having it.
And they like petitioned, and they actually got it back on. The BBC didn't take it up, Amazon did. So now you can watch it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, wow.
So I think that, you know, if you really do love a show, it shows that the audience...
They matter.
They matter, and you can actually sway people. You can get stuff back on. It's, and they had another two series or something
after.
Yeah,
just like Futurama, that got cancelled. And then after, they realised, actually, it's really good, and they brought it back, and then it's cancelled again.
It's kind of like a relationship, you know?
On and off and on again.
No, she's quite good. Did a lot. Like it, oh, it's a bit of a repeat. Now let's go.
Do you know, I saw, talking of cancelled shows, there was a show called Fuzz, which had one, it had one series, okay? So it was like a police drama or comedy kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they had Muppets who were, so like humans and Muppets kind of coexist, like, in the same world, but it was like the Muppets were really naughty, so it was kind of adult show.
Like Avenue Q style.
Yeah, but it only had one series. I mean, I enjoyed that show. Can they bring it back just for me?
Okay, if you're listening, producers of that show, TJ wants it back, so sort that out, please.
And one more show.
Okay.
The Fades on BBC Three.
The Fades? Was the Fades, like a barbering show?
No. Oh. No. Oh, sorry. It was like a zombie show, but with Daniel Kaluuya. Yeah, the best thing BBC Three ever made, second to People Just Do Nothing, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they cancelled it. I don't understand why. It was really good. So bring that back as well, just for me.
Oh, right.
And bring back BBC Three as well.
Just, you know, did you hear him? Did you hear him?
That's good. It.
TJ has spoken.
T-Rod has spoken.
T-Rod has spoken. So, Paris Jackson, Michael Jackson's little girl.
Oh, my gosh. This troublemaker. Go on.
She ain't so little anymore. No, but she's really sorting herself out.
Is she?
She was in the news a couple of years ago for, obviously, like, her mental health and all of that dark stuff.
Bless her, bless her.
Which I kind of don't really even judge her for being in the media crazy circus of Michael Jackson.
From young as well.
But she's sorting her shit out, and she's, like, starred in Chanel campaigns and whatnot, and she's now getting into acting, and she's just been cast in an untitled movie with Charlize Theron, Amanda Seyfried, and Thandie Newton, which is, like, epic. And it is about a businessman who gets caught up in the drug trade in Mexico. It's like action adventure, and it's directed by Nash Edgerton, Joel Edgerton's brother, and Joel Edgerton's going to be in it as well. So I don't know what the movie's called. I'm trying to do my research, but
yeah.
Paris Jackson's going to be acting.
Wow, check you out with some exclusive. That is nice. You are putting me on today, Johanna. Hey, I'm liking you.
I've done my research.
Hey,
babe.
You know what? Yeah.
Do I get a sticker?
Yeah, I'll cut you out a gold star in a bit.
Yes, get a gold freaking star.
I know, what's it? Kate Moss's daughter. I saw her. She's modeling as well. Her little daughter. She's in a new braided campaign, so that, like, you can get your hair braided and stuff like that.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
So all these little kids are coming through.
I know, that were born in like 2005 or something.
Oh, God, man.
I was like, what? I'd left school by then.
Trust me.
Or something.
I was collecting my pension by then. Man. Oh, man.
Let's not talk about pensions. It's a touchy subject for me. I'm never going to get one. Okay. Moving on.
Don't worry. I've got a man in it, that. Don't worry.
You've got a man who'll sort me out.
Yeah, I've got a man who knows a man who knows a guy.
And knows a man who knows a guy who knows a horse inside the pension scheme.
You don't know.
Right. Moving through our Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack day.
Yes.
We're going to be playing that in just a minute. So we've got our competition. Oh my God, I nearly forgot. We have been throwing out so many competitions since the beginning of this year on this show. It's epic. So we held them on Twitter. So if you're not already, like, following our Twitter, then get on there, because you're going to be missing some awesome comps.
I've seen some of the giveaways. I'm like, well, Joe, I hate that we have to, like, talk about and give stuff away, because
I know,
like,
I see it going through the office. I'm like, I want to have that. So last week we held a competition, and right now we're announcing the winner. A huge well done to Kat. We're going to be sending Dog's Purpose Prize bundle your way. That's ironic that she's called Kat and it's a dog's prize. So we've got a whole bundle of doggy treats from the film A Dog's Purpose. That's going to go to Kat. That's a really weird sentence. But well done, Kat.
I hope she has a dog.
I'm pretty sure she does.
Are you sure? Kat with the dog.
Or if not, she's just got an amazing dog bowl to eat her cereal out of. So.
Straight up.
Why not?
Trendy, swagging.
Oh, my God. Let me just diverse for, like, just a second, right? Mm-hmm. So my friend had this, like, really funny story that when she was a little kid, they had, like, guests over to the house. And the guests, I think they were, like, a grandma or something. And then halfway through dinner, they mention, oh, why is the dog staring at my food so much? Is it hungry? And then my friend, because she was only a tiny, went, no, it's because you're eating out the dog bowl.
Oh, my God.
gosh, can she not differentiate between, or was it dog food from the dog bowl, or real food in the dog bowl?
The bowl that they were eating out, or the plate, was the plate that they used the dog. But they had, they ran out of plates, so they thought, let's give Auntie Grandma Susan the dog bowl, right? I love it. The kids will always tell you the truth. They will always tell you the truth. So
no holds barred, no filter.
Now, if you missed out, don't worry, because we're about to kick off another competition. So head to Fubar Radio Twitter and give us a follow, and you know, retweet the image that we are posting right now, and you might be in with a chance of winning a sleepless mech pack. What is that?
Merch? Is that merch?
Merch. It says merch, it says, but I read it as mech.
No, it says it doesn't say merch. I think it's meant to say merch. So, yeah, they just fixed it. Right. It's not your fault.
Okay.
It's them in the production.
Production. I just said mech pack. Fuck it, I'm gonna call it a mech pack. If you're not wearing a sleepless mech pack,
new things, new slang,
new slang, new we're slang right now. It's pretty cool. I've seen it. It's like you got some glasses, a t-shirt, a wallet, I think, all because of Jamie Foxx's new movie Sleepless.
What?
Have you heard it?
No.
Have you seen the film? Oh my gosh, I saw it this week.
I think I've seen the advert where he's like all swagging and he's like in a t-shirt and he's got the glasses on and that.
He's
really
cool. So basically, if you want to, it's a dress up like Jamie Foxx pack that you could win.
Wow, I love that. Like, I feel like when I put on like branded stuff, like wearing David Beckham's aftershave or, you know, like his branded underwear, mm-hmm. I do, if I look or squint from the right angle, look like David Beckham.
I
invoke my David Beckham.
Okay, so
okay. You let me know what you think, you know.
I will. Yeah. I think, yeah.
At Teach World, you can see what I look like, and you'll see I look like David Beckham.
Right, so, okay, so that's what you can win if you go over to Twitter right now for the Jamie Foxx. And I'm going to be talking about the movie later. I'm going to be reviewing it in the movie review section after 5:30 because I saw it and it was good. I do like a bit of Jamie Foxx.
Hey, who don't?
Not going to lie.
I mean, I ain't afraid to tell a man he's good looking, and that man is good looking.
He's good looking, he can act, he's brilliant. Right, oh, we got our poll sing. Going. The poll that we're doing on Twitter at the moment, got a little update of what's going on. So we asked you, what superhero film should they stop making, just leave it? And 46% say Superman, 15% say Batman, 15% Spider-Man, 24% Avengers. Oh,
what?
So, okay, we're going to keep the poll open. So
I'm
keep checking it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm all for Spider-Man, but I'm up there with the Superman. I kind of agree. I agree with the listeners. I agree. Superman needs to die a death.
I don't know, I think Batman would be mine.
Really?
I'm just not into the Batmans. Ever since Heath Ledger died, not interested.
Is it?
Just not
but
interested.
I like the way they make the new suits. I always look forward to that. But the Superman, oh no.
To trust you, you like the fashion.
I like the fashion.
I like the fashion. DJ, if you check out DJ's like Instagram and stuff, he's all about the fashion.
All about the fashion. I'm that Renaissance metrosexual, you know, millennial guy.
Yeah, you'll take longer to get ready than me.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I've got a hand cream, a foot cream, a body cream, a separate soap for everything. I like to pamper.
You do. When you first ever came around my house, the first thing you did was go through my products.
Yeah, I was like, and when I saw the Palmers, I was like, yo, me and you are deaf old friends. Because you weren't 30 until I saw the Palmers, Johanna.
Yeah, I've got cocoa butter. I've got stacks of it. I live off it.
You lubricate your skin.
I do. Right, we are going to play Guardians of the Galaxy 2, mixtape number 2. We're going to go through some of my favourites today. So I'm going to go for... bit of Glen Campbell. Let's mix it up. Have you heard this one? Did you hear this one? You know this one, Gage? Let's go Southern. It's called Southern Nights.
Hey, smooth.
Background chill.
Southern Nights. Have you ever felt a Southern night? Free as a breeze, not to mention the trees. Whistling tunes that you know and love so. Southern nights, just as good even when closed your eyes. I apologize to anyone who can truly say that he has found a better way. Beyond the eye, it goes running through the soul like the stories told of old.
Welcome back. We are joined in the studio by our first guest of the show, Tom Stade. Very, very welcome.
All right. Tom.
Yeah, we love you, Tom. We love
Tom,
you.
Tom, Tom.
Welcome to Back Row and Chill. So if anyone doesn't know who you are, we're going to educate them right now.
Perfect.
You are a comedian and you are doing a show at the moment and you're going to go to Edinburgh?
I'm going to be in Edinburgh. You betcha, man. That's
amazing.
It is amazing. Yep, we're going to do a whole month there up at the Gilded Balloon and all that sort of stuff, man.
Yeah.
And DJ.
Have you been?
It's big star shit going on, man.
Have you done Edinburgh before?
Oh, I've been there about 7 times now, man. Yeah. So I'm a old dog hanging around there.
OG of Edinburgh.
Betcha, buddy. I see the young ones come in. Hey. I don't know if I want to kick the shit out of them or hug them, you know?
You throwing down, man. Snipping. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, TJ.
And what I do, I like to go to the Edinburgh warm-ups, because I can't fly to Edinburgh, you know what I'm saying?
Can't fly there, TJ?
No, or get my Oyster card don't take me that far. So I ain't been to Edinburgh.
What is that, zone 805?
Exactly. So
that's more than 750, TJ.
Exactly, you get me? So it ain't stretching. So I like to go to the warm-up, you know, like when you try out your material. Have you found, where have you done your warm-up?
Oh, you're talking about previews and all that sort of stuff when you come on down here. I did the first one actually just last Wednesday over in Walthamstow. And I've never been to Walthamstow.
That's
proper East London,
dude, I walked out of the tube station and my immediate reaction was tear.
Damn, boy.
Little Canadian white kid showing up.
Hey, you stepped out into the hood, boy.
Yeah, man. But we went down there, and it was interesting hanging out in because that is proper.
That's the hood, but it's getting gentrified, though.
Is it getting? Should I buy a house there?
A house there, because as soon as they get a coffee shop or a barista. Anything like that,
Costa, we're in.
Costa,
man.
Yeah. Trust
me. Thanks, Costa. You just made me another 80 grand.
Trust me. Yeah, mate. So,
are they pushing you out, TJ?
Pardon?
Are they pushing you out, man?
No.
This gentry, like just shoving all the get out, homeless poor people.
Get out. No, I am not letting the gentrification touch me. I'm all for it. Gentrify my life because I like the new people, new cultures, all these things and whatever. But I am Boat E3. You cannot take me out of Boat E3 or the Boat E3 out of me.
Bam.
Bam.
You
London
heard it.
East London through and through. Son.
I'd like to see you try, gentrify.
How did it go?
It was cool, TJ. It was cool, man. I'm really just I'm getting older, TJ. Like, I'm getting, I used to be the man, you know? Yeah. Now I'm just finding I'm getting older. And I don't even feel like I'm getting older, TJ. I feel like I'm time traveling.
Serious?
You know what I mean? I started my machine in 1970, and I've traveled to 2017.
Hey, I like that.
And it's pretty awesome, man.
I hear that, man.
We're in the land of the app, dude.
The app in
the app, man.
This application era or millennium or whatever you want to call it.
I always laugh that we have to have two P's in that. Like whenever you put, you call app with two P's.
We'd get it wrong
if there was just one. Like, how do you even app-a-per? Like, hey, Rhino.
You've done a lot of comedy before.
I have done a lot of comedy.
You've been live at the Apollo for BBC One.
Wow.
Big
Michael
star.
McIntyre, did you go in before Michael McIntyre?
Let's lay down the groundwork here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that I knew all these guys before they became Michael McIntyre and all that. Like, I was there when they were like slugging it out at Up the Creek and all of that.
Yeah.
And little Mikey in the back freaking out, wondering if the crowd's going to like him or not.
Asking you if you could hold a dollar and stuff like that.
Hey, Tom, how'd you like my set? And the thing is that it's all camaraderie. Some people float to the top, some people at the middle, some people die away, whatever. It's the nature of the beast. But because I knew all these guys.
Yeah.
He had his road show. That was his big thing to come out, and he just took a lot of his friends, and for whatever reason, the joke that I told about this meat van, just, it was like a hit song, man.
Really?
And it was a number one hit song in the comedy charts.
What?
Yeah,
I don't want to be a pain, but
don't worry.
But now you've said that there's this joke, I really want to
hear
it.
I don't want to
be that person who says, like, tells a comedian to tell a joke because that's so annoying, but.
Okay, you want to know what I want you to do, TJ?
Yeah.
I can't do it. I'm going to tell you why I can't do it.
Yeah.
Just because it's that long.
Okay.
Cool. I promise you, but what you can do for me, TJ, is you can download it on YouTube and you can play it when I'm gone, man, and go, what the hell was Tom talking about?
Okay. Let's do that.
Boom.
Let's do it. So what was it called? It was
all you have to do is put in Meat Van Guy.
Meat Van Guy.
And we can get that. We need to put that on the website or something like that.
We're going
to
put that on YouTube right now.
Yeah, totally.
We're going to hook that up.
Take a look at how many views it's got. That's the world we're living in too, buddy.
Yeah, trust me, all about views.
Yeah. How many people are following me? I remember when that was a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, oh my God, there's 14,000 people following me.
Trust me.
You know,
imagine if it was one person following you, you'd be like scared in real life. Yeah. But now it's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Now you're pissed off.
Yeah.
What? Only one person following me?
I haven't enough stalkers.
Bullshit. You know I'm more popular than that.
That's mad.
It's crazy how all the words that used to mean bad shit have now become good shit.
Viral.
You know, viral.
If someone's viral, it means you were ill.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, shit, they're viral. And now it's like a good thing. It's like, yeah, I'm viral.
I never thought about that.
Totally viral. Nobody wanted to say that in the 80s. Get the fuck away from me.
I'm viral.
I'm going to turn around and get all my followers viruses.
I love it, you guy.
It's backwards and it's completely upside down. But
we're living in a world where everybody likes they're worried about everybody's feelings and all that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Treading on eggshells and that.
Yeah,
you can't be truthful. But comedy comes from the truth. So if you're not truthful, then you
shame, man.
We're going to stop people from being funny. Come on now.
Yeah.
My first ever comedy video was with Teej.
Yes.
We went viral together.
Yes, we did.
No, you guys. guys.
It came from me and him having a discussion. I said, oh, my mum really wants me to bring home a black boyfriend. She's really desperate.
And I had, like, I was seeing this girl who was, like, from a village, and she's a white girl, and there was that. So we're sharing, related to each other.
We stories about that. And then we said, you know what, we should just write a script, and we'll just do a little video. But imagine if we're bringing a black guy home to white middle class parents who they are so in love with him, but they're being really racist.
Yeah.
So we did our research, and every single joke and pun in that was a story that someone had told.
Yes.
And people took to it really well.
And it was kind of like a take on
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
You know, Sidney Poitier.
Oh, wait a second, DJ, forgive me. That sounds like something before 2000.
Yeah.
But I've heard rumors, man.
Yeah.
Who's Coming to Dinner? DJ's coming to dinner.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like based on the Sidney Poitier film, and we just kind of like changed it around.
We put a spin on it.
So it was fun. It was fun. So
Where is that? Can I watch
that
shit?
Yeah, it's on my Facebook page.
It's on your Facebook? You got to get that shit on YouTube, Janet.
It's my Facebook page. It's like...
Oh, okay.
It's a comedy page. It's like 700,000 followers. And
no
stuff.
Way, yeah. Janet.
I want her to have that on YouTube. So look, where everyone, right, will be... I'm backing Jana to get a YouTube page, and she's going to get...
I'm backing her too, and I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Bam!
But I want her to have 5 million, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Because if she's flying, I'm flying. She's like 50 Cent, yeah? And I'm like Lloyd Banks. So she busts true, I come true, so I'm all for it.
No, I'm taking you with me, mate, don't worry.
Trust me.
You were there at the beginning.
Like
you and Michael McIntyre.
Trust me, and that's good. I can't believe, like, that's good. You must have been a nice person, because, like, you know some of these people, yeah, like, from overseas and stuff like that, they're not always nice, because there's no, it can be quite insular. But it's nice to know that you must have been welcoming for them to be nice to you and you know, holler at you, you know what I mean? Some people... aren't like that, or, you know, you could have been a wanker, but you clearly weren't.
No, I get what you're saying. Trust me, there's a lot of ego in this business, man. Yeah. As soon as you start believing the shit that people tell you you are, that's when things get super fucked up, man.
Trust.
You were talking about Walthamstow just as the beginning.
Yeah.
At least you know where you come from.
Yeah,
you always got to have that base to know where you are. Like, I'm from small town British Columbia, okay? Like,
okay.
I wasn't supposed to leave those mountains. I was supposed to die there and chop wood. The fact
Canada.
Of the matter, they would love you there, TJ.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, chop.
You bring that accent to Quesnel, British Columbia, they'll go, what the fuck is that shit?
I'm going.
But, dude,
I'm gone.
You come with me, TJ. I'm a hero in that town.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd bring you in a heartbeat, man.
I'm going to hold you to that. You heard it here, Fubar. Remember?
Me and TJ, we'll take some pictures, send them viral.
But
yeah, you gotta always know where you started out, man. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And then you can appreciate what the fuck you got instead of expect it all the time.
Exactly.
You know, and that's a big deal for me, man. I never looked for fame, TJ. Fame found me, man.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? I never really had a goal, because I'm like Mr. Zen, you know, in the morning, about 10 minutes, get myself ready for the illusion that's about to come my way. Let's check out what this actor has to say to me. Get the fuck out of my way. Good roll.
I like it. But no, I can see why people would warm to you, and like why you say it came to you. Like all jokes aside, like, you are like amazing. You are a big character. And like, you know, and for you to be so cool, like, you know, I mean, I can't believe how nice a guy you are. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, reading all that you've done, for you to be like so cool, like,
Teach,
you, like,
just
I love
ask
it.
Him out already.
Oh, yeah, no, but he's
I'm
dope.
Getting,
like,
guess
he's
who's dope. Getting a black boyfriend?
Hey, it's a bromance. Hey, can I ask you? What is John Bishop like? Please tell me that he's a nice person.
John Bishop is a really nice dude, man. Because he's also a fan.
And fudge for that.
Like he was a he. Oh, I'll tell you all about. He used to sell pharmaceuticals and all that shit.
Yeah, man. Was that normal guy? When are you?
Oh, dude, and he came on the scene, and he was the first dude that would walk up on stage without any material and just start talking about what happened to him that day.
Really?
And that's what made John Bishop special.
Okay.
And we used to hang out. Oh, God. Can I tell you a really funny story about
John?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're partying staying in a little place called the Laughter House in the Slaughterhouse in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And he came down to do a set. And then we just got, I can say this, we just, you know, we got fucking English. We got drunk, man. We got totally hammered.
Rat face, you got fucked, mate.
John, you're going to love me, man. So we're staying in this same room. There's a little places, and John's a big star, but he's still, fuck, the room's right next door. I'm not going to get a 5-star and walk, you know what I mean? So yeah.
Love that.
And he went crashing out, and I was like, what the fuck happened to Johnny? And everybody's like, he's up in his room, man. And so I knock on his door. John answers the fucking door naked, man.
Whoa.
And I went, oh my God, if you were not in comedy, you would totally be in porn, John.
Whoa! Because
it's touching me.
Whoa!
Yeah, man.
He's hung, yeah?
He's John a hung man, man.
Hey, you know.
Good for
that,
you.
With all that confidence, there must have been something going on there.
Oh, you man, I walked away going, okay, we're never going to tell anybody about this until we get on radio.
Yeah. That is not, but that is, I'm not going to share my story, but it's always awkward when you find out a friend is well endowed.
Yeah, it's weird.
I've been there. It's awkward, but yeah, you have a new
friend.
When
did you find out, TJ? Like, for, I don't know, Jack, I don't know the equivalent for girls.
Well, that's
like,
why I've never shown you my dick, TJ.
Is it? Because you want to put me to shame in it. Like, you know,
exactly.
You want to knock my confidence or anything like that. Hey, look, yeah, I'm a grower, I'm not a shower, yeah, I don't care what you heard. My ex-girlfriend's a liar.
So, Tom, just coming back to the Fringe, if anyone's like joining us now, we're talking about your show, it's called I Swear. And if people are like, I like the sound of this guy, where can I see him? Apart from YouTube, how can they see you live? Is it going to be...
Okay, well, I'll say it all the time. Because we're living in this world, obviously, you just go over to my website, man.
Okay.
Like cool. You got to understand, I'm 46. I barely understand half that shit. So I got, like, and I'm not an asshole. I just got other people... like my daughter, you know what I mean?
No, you got to delegate. Delegate is the way forward.
Yeah.
You can't do it all.
Because I didn't grow up in the websites and all of that sort of shit. And you guys did. So you guys can click around like it was fucking nothing,
trust
man.
Me.
Tweeting our sleep.
But But it's tomstade@.co.uk.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of them. And I'm going to be releasing my new DVD. Ooh. Also, that nobody knows about. This is the second time I've said it. So,
yes,
Fubar is
exclusive.
It's an exclusive, man.
And hey, love Tom, love.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's 18 plus because I'm a no holds bar guy, man.
Yes,
there's gonna be shit in there that people are going, how the fuck did he say that? That's not right. And then I want to just punch you in the head.
Nice.
So if you look for that on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be announcing it probably within the next couple weeks, and then we're going to get this, TJ. We're going to stream it. Everybody goes on Netflix and Amazon, but we're going to do, my daughter, believe it or not, said, forget those guys. You should do it on a thing called Vimeo.
Yeah.
So I'm going to release, I want to be the first comedian to release their album on Vimeo, man.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're going to do that, and then you can just, I don't know how it works, but you pay your little fee and all that shit, and then you can own that fucking stuff. It's great.
You buy on Vimeo.
You see, you're like a Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates on the slack.
Jesus,
you know what I'm saying?
I just got a boner for you saying that. What is that? Mark Zuckerberg.
You're about it, you get me? You got me that innovation station, you get me? You're tuned, bro.
Yes,
you're tuned.
Hey. Innovation station.
Trust me, Daddy.
Man.
Well, thank you so much, Tom, for coming in.
It was a real pleasure.
Epic. We're playing loads of songs today from Guardians of the Galaxy 2 because I'm just in love with that. So we're going back and we're going to play Bring It On Home to Me by Sam Cooke. I love
this.
Awesome.
You're
like,
just
looking at me like, what? Trust me, it's beautiful. This is it. Look, it's like in a bar.
Hey, hey.
You're kind of alone.
Can I buy you a drink, baby?
You know what I mean? We're feeling it. This is Back Row and Chill.
If you ever change your mind about leaving me behind, oh, bring it to me, bring your sweet love.
Johanna James and Noel Clarke on FUBAR Radio.
Robinson, it's Kent Jones. And usually I like to be in the front, but right now this is Back Row and Chill.
Sexualness from Kent Jones there. This is Back Row and Chill. We've got a second guest in the studio. So
two for one.
Woo! Two for one today.
Two for, as they say in California, two for.
Two for. A huge welcome to Fina Arushe.
Oh, thank you.
Did I say it right?
I feel hugely welcome. Why are you saying, TJ, you off your phone?
Yeah, I just about...
Do you know what? He was on his phone.
As soon as I met you, I was on my phone. I apologise, yeah, but I love my phone.
Phone addicted.
I'm an Instagram fiend.
Are you?
Fiend. Hey, I love that.
I'm so on social media, I'm pathetic. I've just learned to tweet.
You're anti-social.
I still don't know how to tweet.
Anti.
I am the anti-social. Yeah. I am anti-social. It's true. I really totally am.
You like to socialize in real life, not virtual reality, right?
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah,
well, that's why I created 9 people. Yeah. I'm that type of person. I don't need not tweeting. Yeah. Me met myself several people and them have a conversation.
I love that.
That's what we are dealing with.
So, Vina, you are promoting a show at the moment because you're going to be at the Oval House in London.
Beautiful
which is awesome. That's in Oval.
Oval House.
Oval, like where they got the cricket in that.
Yeah, opposite the cricket ground.
Yeah.
Next to the station.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah, around there.
You might catch a 6 mid show.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
TJ's quiet, you know, he's got. When you put the phone down, you're good.
Oh, yeah, I'm switched on.
Yeah.
When you switch off.
Yeah. Girl.
Okay,
can I tell a story? No, I'm not going to tell the story.
No.
She told me off air, we don't know what the. Where the no.
Okay. Well, But your it's called Identity Crisis.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what that's about.
Well, I had an identity crisis. Actually, all jokes aside, and you know when you have, you have a bad year.
Yeah.
I had probably about bad 3.
Ouch.
Just bang, bang, bang. My niece was babysitting my son, dropped dead in the home.
Yeah, I read
not
that.
Not a good moment.
Then
after that, some man robbed me of £20,000.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, the front door was closed. Yes. So there was that. And it was just a series where it was just like bang, bang, bang. I was on the, you know, on the
yeah,
ropes.
Life
was just life. Pummeling you.
My marriage was crumbling. So I wasn't very happy.
Yeah.
As you can imagine. So I shut everything down. I was stalked by a member of the BNP because I had a radio show in Liverpool. And
oh
so
my
I got look at him up. Shack up.
But you're like
claws on a mouth.
No, but you
claws on a mouth misspeaking.
Sorry, no.
He's
but
in shock.
I'm in awe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you are one strong woman.
It sounds like a movie.
Yeah.
But you know what? I wasn't strong at first. At first I was evil. Drinking, mm-hmm. shouting, fighting,
mm-hmm.
and then you go, how far are you going to take that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, the negativity, and you've got to get on with the right people. You're mm-hmm. with the wrong people, they're all like, in it, blood, in it, ma.
They drag you down and you
yeah,
kind
of. I just had to cut everything off. I had to cut off work. I had to concentrate because all of a sudden, a 19 year old person has passed in my house who I adore, and you think, oh, here's me running around trying to get next soap and next TV show, and I've got a 3-year-old son. Is he damaged by the dead babysitter? Who would know? So I had to go in.
Yeah.
Right? Quiet. Mm-hmm. Facebook gone.
Yeah.
Twitter gone. So I had to deal with what was going on between my ears and my heart and raise my son. And after a couple of years, I went back to university and I was doing something on black representation in the media, a master's degree. And they could see that they could see I wasn't quite right. So they said, why didn't you write a one-woman show? And I'm like, no. They asked me several times, Roger Shannon, and I did. And the rest is what you know.
It's here, it's arrived.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well,
amazing.
Well, props to you and big high five. We'll air high five like this, Bluetooth.
Bluetooth, that's for...
Because right now, not many people come out the other side and you know what, you're here, you're looking beautiful,
ooh,
you're looking fresh, you know what, you're funny,
ooh.
And you come with all that energy.
I'm only joking.
Hey, there was! Catch me outside, how about that? Yeah.
So, in your... How long is the play?
70 minutes.
70 minutes.
Yeah.
And you go through, was it 9 different...
It says 9 because there's 9 main ones. It's about 12.
You go 12. Wow,
yeah.
That is such a mind factor.
Well, yeah. But remember what the state my mind was in.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I actually think I wouldn't want anyone to go through what I went through. But I actually think, in a way, I could have only written something like this as a result of that time.
Yeah.
Because someone said to me, how did you come up with it? My mind was a mess, scrambled.
Yeah,
I was like getting radio frequencies. I was very, very depressed. I was very, very low. So, you know, I do go through all those people in that time, but...
Yeah, for sure.
So how different are the 9 people from each other?
Well, the first one is Sir Bobby Blue. He's a 62-year-old media mogul.
Okay.
And then we have Rasta. You know the blood? The man them. We have one. A man them. And then we have sort of
her name's Amy Tan, and she's like 18, but she lives in Liverpool. And she's got like one brow, like a Scouse brow.
Scouse brow.
And like a Scouse brow.
And curlers on the weekend.
That is like rollers.
Rollers.
Curlers are what old bags wear. We're going out to the races. We wear rollers. Yeah. And trackies.
They're very different.
Yeah, know your shit, DJ. Come on.
He ain't even got hair for rollers.
You're supposed to be this metrosexual.
Dude, he ain't got no hair for rollers. Rollers, curlers.
Same thing,
and
different
also,
name.
And also, his sisters, we get our hair out of the bag.
Yeah. But no, love the 1B. Shout out the 1B girl, let me. You know, you know the packet. Yeah, you know that's the colour, innit?
I'm 1B.
Hey, trust me.
Yeah.
So I know my shit.
Yeah. I think the only time you've ever gone, you look like a girl, was when I was wearing weave, so... It works.
You look
like a girl now.
You look different. You look girlier.
Okay, right. Well, I was wearing like big long weave.
And did you do hair for days? Do you like hair for days?
And lashes.
I had lashes on. Yeah, I had all the fake it and I had fake nails. I went.
You went fake it on.
Yeah, I went.
It was a different
genre. I bet you lots of different people came. Different man came to you than usual. It's a different flow,
right?
Yeah,
for sure.
When I put different hair on, different man comes.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like different. I'm like, oh, who do I want today? Okay.
Yeah. It is an art. It is an art. Like I could go on a tube journey with no makeup on, and I could be invisible.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. And then I could literally put the fake eyelash in the. Like, well, you proved my point.
No, I just said you look more girly. I've never looked at you and said, like, yeah, oh, Jahan.
Okay, I don't want to hear about the sexual relationship.
No, there is nothing. But I've never seen her like that.
I'm telling you, there's only so much. Yes, Chianti.
All right, cool. It's much of a muchness anyway.
Yeah. You guys have to work on your own thing on your own time.
That's it.
Whatever you need to do to keep the comedy flowing, it's fine. I don't want to enter in. I don't do menage a trois.
I hear that.
So it's running. It's starting from Tuesday the 9th. So that's next Tuesday.
I know.
How prepped are you?
Yeah,
prepped.
You're good.
Went to Edinburgh, smashed it.
Killed
it. Liverpool, smashed it. Bristol was interesting because Bristol, I thought, I don't know anybody here. And the theatre kept writing to me saying, nobody's booked. And I was like, oh, well, you're the only person in the cast.
Uh-huh.
Right? Nobody's booked. It's not great for the old ego. Mm-hmm. And I walked out thinking, it's going to be me mum. The dog, the fella with the light switch at the back, and it was a full house, and I smashed it.
But it's
weird. It's kind of like
the walk-ups, say.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
They came through.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why people were just like, yeah. And it's every single time in Edinburgh, same thing. You think I'm in Edinburgh, there are 3,000 shows.
Yeah.
I sit in the back going, why have I done this to myself? Yeah. It's like a Bart Simpson or Homer. moment. And then it works, so I am ready.
Yeah, trust. But that must, I think. That's
part and parcel of the journey.
It is, and that must only make you stronger. I mean, imagine, going on thinking there's going to be no one there, and then everyone is full up. It's going to be a different kind of show. I wish I got to see that show.
That, to be honest, that's still my favourite performance.
You must have been fire.
Yeah, because you come out and you go, oh, hello, you're here. Okay.
Yes.
Switch it on.
Perform.
Go.
Has anything ever gone wrong? Because in a one person show, it must be really hard because you haven't got that person to go, help me.
Yeah.
Well, who would know?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess you got the freedom.
Okay, so you know when you're doing radio, I don't know about how you guys prep, but the BBC, you know, you've got all the running list and the this and the this link, this link, this link. Like, the first time I went on air, I remember saying to the morning presenter, I didn't do this. He goes, no one knows your script. And it stayed with me.
True.
So no one knows my script.
Trust.
So if I fall down, roll, and cry, I will somehow segue that into something. Unless I bleed or anything falls off my body. I think when your body starts to break down on stage, I'd be done. But if my body stays intact, I pretty much would carry on.
Okay. I hear that. No, it's true. It's true.
Haven't you heard the adage, the show must go on?
Yeah.
That's the theatre types. That's what we do.
But then what if, like, you've forgotten a whole segment, yeah, and then it's gone from 70 minutes to, like, 40 minutes?
I'd go and get a drink. I'd get everyone bladdered afterwards. I'd say the base of it... No, the rest of it takes place in the bar. This is the interactive part of Identity Crisis at the Oval House. This is the interactive part.
Who are you?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
But it's the audience.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Yes, how do you get your identity?
Yeah.
Mine's at Shampers. Thank you.
I like it.
How do they know?
I don't know. I'd be so nervous. Like, doing... See, I mean, all of people are able to do, like,
person shows. It's just like, I just stand up. How,
let me tell you something. The death of the girl changed me. That's the legacy of my niece passing. I wouldn't have done a one woman show. I've wanted to do, like this fella that was in before, I've wanted to do something stand up and all of that.
Yeah.
You should.
I heart that stuff. I think it's amazing. I like the idea of you create it and you bring it forward.
Yeah.
But I was like sitting waiting for somebody to cast me on a TV show because that's my comfort zone. And then all bets were off.
Yeah.
I got rocketed out of the cannon. I didn't want to go off the cannon.
Yeah, but I hear
it
that.
Was either like, I mean, I had dark thoughts. I had a 2 or 3 year period where I didn't even want to be here. And if I didn't have a toddler that I had to bring through, because I thought, well, I can't end my life because I've got to raise one.
You've got something to breathe for. Right, you need to. You know, you've got to be selfless.
A survivor guilt.
I hear that.
That comes with that. Mm-hmm. How are you going to call up somebody and say, you know, she came to babysit? Well,
right? I hear you.
So that's where the strength came from.
Yeah.
Sometimes life intervenes nastily.
Yeah,
but
of course.
It will change as a result of
it's
it.
Good.
If you hang on.
I hear that.
I was hanging on.
Man,
if you hang on,
I just got goose pimples.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, another Bluetooth high five with you.
Boom!
But also just the memory as well. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what I did yesterday.
But remember this: that it's you know when they say you've got a talent for, like that man that was in before, obviously has a talent for a certain type of comedy. It's part of your gifting. It's like Lewis Hamilton. If I drove like that, everyone would die at the speed of Lewis Hamilton. Because I don't have that kind of gift. I can't hold steady. You get me?
Of course.
So there's something about me. I've got 25 years as a model and an actor.
Yeah.
I've done many, many plays. I've done many, many TV shows. Course. I've come out of the soap where all you do is spit lines. Spit lines.
Of course. Regurgitate them fast.
The role of a soap opera actress is to memorize 70 pages of dialogue a week. That's your job.
That's true.
Think about
it. So it's not, I guess it's not as daunting when you think about it like that.
Yeah, and also you go up to it slowly. And then the other thing I would say is, there is a song from when you were 15. You know every word, true or false?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's that expanded.
See?
It's that part of your brain expanded and then added to and expanded and then added to.
Everyone
says, how do you memorize? And I go, you could sing the words to Grease.
The whole album of ABBA or whatever.
Expanded.
Just a couple of albums.
Yeah, a couple of albums.
Movement done.
That's true. It's like me and Grime songs. I know umpteen Grime songs.
Exactly.
I could do 5 in a row, and technically, that's like a one-man show.
And imagine if you spoke them instead of that fast, it would go on for hours.
Hey, I've just entered the Matrix again.
Dude, I can't. It's too fast, the Grime. I'm like...
Is it?
Hello.
I guess that's...
I mean, obviously, I'm only 24. I think it's a generational thing.
Yeah!
Don't laugh so hard.
I think it's
a generational thing. I'm like, oh, it's... Can't.
Amazing.
I don't grime.
So
don't.
if anyone's listening now and being like, what are we talking about? We are talking to Fina Arushe, who is talking about Identity Crisis. It's going to be on at the Oval Theatre from Tuesday.
Yeah. 7:45
for a week.
Yeah.
Amazing. So go check it out.
Ovalhouse.com.
The website. Yeah, you jumped in. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And all the best of luck for Show Break a Leg. Or even if you do, cover it. No one knows. Maybe you're supposed to.
And keep being amazing. You are amazing.
Thank you.
You're dope.
Brilliant. Right. I think this is the last Guardians of the Galaxy song we've got for today. It's Father and Son by Cat Stevens. Enjoy.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. Can I try to explain? When I do, he turns away again.
always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. Change, just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree. But it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
Grow and chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, welcome back. And I'm joined by two very special guests in the studio this afternoon. We've got Hope Dixon-Leach and Ellie Kendrick, who are going to be talking to us about their new movie, The Leveling. So welcome, welcome.
Thank Hello. You. Lovely to be here.
And so I will just jump right in. I saw the movie this week and it is very powerful, very dark, gritty. Beautiful.
Emotionally powerful, I would like to
think. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was quite intense. It was intense to watch. And it's one of those films that you walk away and you go, I need a cup of tea.
Right.
Or something.
Like, or a glass of brandy.
Definitely yeah. not or, a glass of milk with your tea.
Oh, no. So for anyone's like, what is this? What's this? So The Leveling is, or do you want to just sort of do a synopsis? You know the film way better than me.
Yeah, The Leveling is a drama kind of told a bit like a thriller. And it's about a young woman who comes home to her family farm when she discovers that her brother has died. She hasn't been home for about 7 years. She's fallen out with her dad, and she comes home planning to blame her dad for her brother's suicide, but she's really there to find out what's happened. And along the way, she and her dad have to find common ground and figure out how they're going to deal with the future. So ultimately, it's a reconciliation story, but it starts off with some big questions about what's happened.
No, for sure. And you play the lead, Clover.
Yes.
I love that name, by the way.
Whoever. Yeah, great name. Was like, I love that name too.
Beautiful. Yeah. And how did this project come about for you, and why did you choose to play Clover?
Well, it came about for me in the kind of a conventional route, I suppose, in that I was just sent the script via my agent and invited to audition, and very readily accepted that invitation because, as you'll know, if you watch the film, it is an absolutely cracking part.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, it was really exciting for me. It all just happened quite quickly. I mean, got the script through, auditioned, and then you guys gave me the part. So then we had to wait a couple of months before filming, and I was like, oh, I was so ready to go. So it was really exciting, the build up to it. But yes, I just like got straight on set and got stuck in.
It was so clear that this was Ellie's role. I mean, it was just, yeah. I couldn't imagine anyone else doing it. And I was sort of, after the audition, I wanted to run out of the room and just go, can we just give it to her right now? And, you know, the casting director was like, no, we need to do this properly. Yeah. Talk to her agent, you know. But it was a dream right from the beginning. And I just, all the way through, you know, every day on the set, every day, Ellie would sort of astound me with her, not just her talent, but her... her sort of generosity as an actor, how much she was willing to open up and share, which, as you know, for this part is really important because it has to be emotionally truthful.
Oh, and the emotions in this, like, I was watching, like, really in awe of your performance because from throughout the whole film, really, you're on, like, level 10 emotional emotional status. You're, like, absolutely in pieces. How did you sort of get into that? And then how did you bring yourself back out of that? Because...
Great, two great questions. Well, it's always interesting when you're making any film, but particularly a very emotionally intense film, because I don't know if you or your listeners are aware, but films are almost always filmed out of sequence. So you'll be filming a scene from the end, and then you'll see film something right from the beginning, and then after that it'll be somewhere in the middle, and you have to kind of switch around all the time. Mm. So you have to really keep track of where your character's sort of at emotionally. So I did all sorts of nerdy little graphs and kind of plotted the script really carefully in my own words, and made sure I knew it inside out. So getting involved in it was quite daunting, but because the script was already so well written, there was so much to work with. It was, as you say, like, it was the leaving it afterwards that was possibly harder than the getting into it. So we shot the whole thing in 4 weeks. Wow. It was a really fast shoot, a really tight-knit group of people. The crew was pretty small for a film crew. Mm-hmm. Lots of women, though, which was really exciting for me. Fabulous. The first time I'd ever worked with an all-female film crew, which was ace, and loads of female HODs, and obviously Hope manning the ship. Or womaning the ship, as I should say. So not only was it a brilliant part and a very emotionally involving one, but it was also a great community that I was able to make this film with. So then leaving was very sad. I think we all sort of shed a little tear.
Oh my
on
God,
the last
it was
day,
awful.
Didn't we?
I didn't know how we were going to leave. Mm. I mean, I'd been away from home for 2 months. I'd left my children behind, so it was very emotional coming and doing this. There was a lot of pressure. It's my first film. But at the end, I was like, but I can't leave now. This is my new family and I don't want to go. And we all were a little bit freaked out on the last night.
Because we were all living together in this kind of series of like bungalows in this strange old kind of semi-abandoned holiday home, I want to say. But it ended up actually being a blessing in disguise because we all would kind of go over to each other's house for dinner after filming. And, you know, we were all there every week, you know, because there was nowhere else to go. So we became very close very quickly, which was great.
Yeah.
And was that a very different filming experience from Game of Thrones?
Yeah, so I had a day and a half in between finishing this role and starting on the season of Game of Thrones that I was doing. So yes, it was a really, really intense shift because you go from something which is, you know, an independent British film with, you know, as I said, you know, a smaller crew, very intense, kind of almost chamber piece. It's just these two or three characters really in a house, really. I mean, you know, you see a lot of the land and the nature as well, but it's based in that locale. So then you go from there to I went to Belfast, huge set, like, you know, cranes everywhere and a massive crew, you know, 10% of whom I knew, and I was there with my like rabbit fur cape thinking, how did I get here from the farm that I was on 2 days ago?
I think you did you not do a day in the middle of the film as well? I seem to remember you going off and then coming back, and the next day I was like, so how was yesterday? And you said, oh, I walked up to a horse. And I said, well, what else did you do? And you said, I walked up to a horse all day. That's all I did, all day. And I said, wow. You said, yeah, I think maybe 10 seconds of footage. That's what we shot yesterday. And I was like, wow. I said, okay, well, today we're shooting 6 pages. Are you ready? And Ellie was like, hell yes.
Yeah, you have to get used to completely different, because obviously with stuff which is, you know, mega production values, they spend like 7 months a year filming Game of Thrones.
Wow.
So it's a lot slower. And there are elements of that process that are rewarding, but it's amazing to be able to flip backwards and forwards between, you know, really fast shooting from the hip sort of filmmaking and then shooting from very, very far behind, you know, massive wide shots, shooting the horse. So it's good to be able to switch in between the two.
Just in terms of like this film, obviously it's about farming and British farming. Did you know anything, either of you, about British farming, and how much sort of like research and cow milking did you have to do before?
It's a really good question. I grew up in a city. I grew up in Hong Kong, so I don't know very. I didn't know very much, and I kind of got drawn to this through the stories that I'd read and seen in the newspaper about the 2014 floods in Somerset. Mm. And I went down, and through a very helpful contact called Matilda Templey, who'd taken these photos that I saw in the paper, I got introduced to a lot of the farmers who had been flooded out during the floods, and they were just brilliant because they had understood and seen how effective it was to get their story out there in the news. And so once they, you know, knew who I was and what my intentions were, they really opened up and told me a lot. And so it sort of started from a very personal kind of drama kind of story. Mm. But then through that, obviously, I realised how essential it was to get this right. You know, not just how everyone felt and what actually happened, but actually how farming works and what are the things that tip the scales. You know, what are the things that push you over the edge if you're struggling as a farmer? So we did a lot of research. We both learnt to milk cows.
Yep, and David Trouton did as well. We all learnt to milk cows, but I was better.
It's a useful skill, you know.
You never know, yeah.
You never know when you're going to need to milk a cow.
Well, yeah, exactly.
There could be an apocalypse at some point and we're going to all need to know how to milk.
Almost definite,
animals.
I think.
Yeah. But they need to be milked twice a day, like without fail, every single day of the year, which I didn't realise. And we were filming on a working farm, so all of the shooting had to be done around the scheduling of when the cows were going to be milked, because obviously they get really grumpy if they're not milked, because...
Don't we all?
Well, seriously, I just stopped breastfeeding a couple of months before and I was like looking at these cows kind of pawing the ground and I was like, oh, this hurts my boobs just looking. But you know, yeah, they you know, it's a very regimented thing and they have to get pregnant a lot in order to keep, you know, so they're being inseminated and you're seeing, you know, calves everywhere, and it's, you know, it's kind of a crazy world.
It's all going down on the farm.
Yeah.
And just lastly, if anyone's like, okay, I want to see this movie now, what are they talking about? How would they go about seeing, or where can they go and see?
Well, the film comes out nationwide on the 12th of May.
Perfect.
There's a website, thelevelling-film.com, which has all the locations where it's playing around the country. Mm-hmm. There are some preview screenings this week. Tonight we're at the Picture House. Tomorrow we're in Bristol. And then it's also on VOD at the same time, so it'll be on iTunes and things like that.
Okay, perfect. So people can get
12th of May. 12th of May. Come and watch the most dramatic film about cows you've ever seen.
That's brilliant. And just really quickly to wrap up, what's next after both of you? What's your next project?
That's always a terrifying question.
I know,
to ask.
I feel mean saying it. Are you employed?
I've got a thing that I'm doing a play, but I'm not allowed to talk about it until next week because they're not announcing it yet. But I'm going to be in a play in London.
Amazing.
So that's exciting.
I'm always quite jealous of people who say I'm not allowed to talk about it.
I know.
I've got a few projects that I'm developing at the moment. I'm writing some. I'm looking at some great scripts that have been sent my way, and I'm just trying to figure out which one. As you know, it takes a long time to get the money. Which one will go first? So it's an exciting time.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, guys, for coming in. And that's The Levelling, which will be out on the 12th of May. Thank you.
Thanks, Johanna.
Thank you.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Amazing. She was super cool. Girl from Game of Thrones.
Excellent.
We've been joined. It's 5:30, so we've been joined by Lucy Patterson, who's going to do film reviews.
Film cramp time.
I feel like we should. I want to have something like a bit more of a better cue for that. I'll work on that next week.
She needs a jingle.
I need a jingle. And I feel like we say it every week, and nobody delivers.
Yeah.
Okay. No one's there for me to give daggers to.
What about film review time with Lucy Patterson?
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, no.
I like it. And I like your the voice you do, Johanna.
When I did, what was it? Entertainment News. It was
it's now time for entertainment news.
On that kind
of very breathy and sultry.
It's like eyelashes, Johanna.
Eyelashes, Johanna. Oh, I put on the voice.
Hey, babe.
Yeah, when I want something, my boyfriend. Wait, can I have that?
But please.
Yeah.
So, this is the part of the show where we talk about anything that we've seen, where we're going to give it a little bit of a review, and basically tell you guys at home what we think is really awesome and what we also think is really shit, because we don't want you to waste your time and your monies and your time, mainly.
Yeah.
Time is money, So, what have people been seeing and loving or hating? Or not really minding?
Well, this week, I thought I'm going to have a break from these big action films and horror films and, you know, all these genre pieces that have been coming out. They've been good, you know. And I thought I'd go and see a sickly sweet, lovely little story.
Okay.
And I went to see A Dog's Purpose.
Ah, right.
Now, there's been a lot of controversy around
that.
For sure, but I thought, okay, I'm just going to ignore that, which, you know, probably is a bad thing, but we won't go into that.
Okay. Well, you're looking at it objectively. You're going in for an objective.
I just thought, exactly. I thought, I'm going to go and get my own opinion based on the film alone and not these stories that have been coming out about it. Whether they're true or not, I don't know. So
I need to go and read up.
There was speculation about animal cruelty in the film. But then as much as there was proof of it, there was also sort of...
You don't know. We don't know. You can edit anything to look any way you want it to, you know.
Look at Planet of the Apes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
No monkeys were harmed, just exactly. computer graphics.
Exactly. You just don't know what they've done, do
Trust
you?
Trust me.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to go and see that and have a cry. And oh my God, did I cry.
Did you?
Yeah. It's adapted from a book of the same name, and it's basically about this dog that gets reincarnated into different dogs' bodies and different purposes, you know, in people's lives, like a police dog, just a puppy for a lonely kid and things like that. It sounds really, really sickly sweet, and it was. It was a lovely, lovely film.
Yeah.
Starring Dennis Quaid, for one, who I love. I'm so pleased he's still
around. Daddy
in
the Parent Trap. Oh, my God, yes. Always, forever will be.
He's just amazing, isn't he? And our lovely little KJ Apa from Riverdale.
Oh, okay.
Archie from Riverdale is in it. Riverdale. And you can still see the tinge of the red hair as well. Yeah.
The tinge of the ginge.
Yeah. But yeah, the story was a bit stupid, really, but I enjoyed it. I took my mum to see it. We cried our eyes out. It had a lovely soundtrack, lovely acting. You know, it was worth my money and time, yeah. I think, to just go and have a little break from the norm.
Yeah, is it a family-friendly film or not?
It's a family film.
So it's a family film, so it's not horror.
It's like Marley and Me made everyone cry.
It's like a dog that's got a cat's lives.
Basically, yeah. But it comes back in different ones. At one point, like I said, he was a police dog. Mm-hmm. In a female dog's body, you know, and he was all confused about that. And a lot of the narration is that, who is it?
Josh Gad, isn't it?
It's Josh Gad, yes, thank
he
you.
He plays Olaf in Frozen.
Yeah. And LeFou in Beauty and the Beast. And he's the voice of the dog, basically.
Oh, cool.
And you follow him through all of his lives and all the people that he ends up being owned by and the difference he makes to their lives and things like that, you know. Mm. It's like I said, it's just a lovely, lovely film. And aww. I would go and see it. Ignore the controversy. Yeah. If you can, if you are more morally sound than I am, then don't go and see it. But you know, I enjoyed it. It's lovely.
I'm sure that some of these dogs are living a better life than some humans.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, as much as, you know, they say this, that and the other, but I'm sure I would think that it wouldn't be that.
Dogs in the industry are notoriously pampered.
Yeah,
you know, and they're so well looked after, and a lot of the time more looked after than the actual actors.
Trust.
You know, you hear that a lot, don't you?
I was in a play, and next door they was doing the pantomime, and Pudsey the dog, you know, was in it.
I bet he was living the high life, wasn't he?
Hey, when he rolled up, and can I say, there's more than one Pudsey exclusive.
Shut up, there's not. You have literally blown my mind.
Hey, I know I have just killed the tooth fairy, Santa Claus. And everything else all in one. Trust me.
I'm genuinely shocked.
Hey, don't tell nobody that I told you, but I told you, innit? You get me?
There's more than one Pugsy dog.
Oh, my God.
Hey, trust. Man. But this is what
How many
do.
Are there?
Well, I saw two. That's all I'm saying. When the car rolled up,
holy shit!
Trust me,
they have to have a backup in case it dies.
Exactly. But it's not even that. You have to remember the same thing they did with babies. So I did an advert the other day. Yeah, one ball, like I did for one ball every minute. Yeah, and they had I'm playing the father, a new father, whatever. Okay, and they had two babies. They were twin. It was a twin baby.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was one who cried a lot and one that didn't. So if one needs to sleep, she switched them out.
Yeah.
So they do it with children. Also, when they had the dogs on the other show, you've got to remember, like, certain, you can only teach a dog so many tricks, yeah? So sometimes you can't teach an old dog new tricks. One does backflips and one does roly-polies, innit? Do you know what I'm saying?
It's the same
with football adverts as well. When they get the trickers to come in and do it, then they go cut to Ronaldo's face. Dogs do it, people do it.
Everyone
there you go.
I'm stunned.
World exclusive.
That is.
I hope I don't get sued now. I feel like the masked magician.
You get blackballed from everything.
I know. Bad for the dog circle.
You ain't getting no pets now.
I know. Oh, well. That's life.
But after that revelation, go and see it. It's lovely. Yeah. Take your mum or take your nan or whatever. But I must admit, if I was at home, I would have been screeching. I was crying that much. But then I do cry at everything.
I cried the most I've probably ever cried in a very long time at a show. I finally got to the end of 13 Reasons Why on Netflix.
Oh, Jenna.
And I nearly gave up. So the only thing I have about that show, it was good, but they just... They drew it out. It should have been four episodes shorter.
Yeah, it should.
There were so many episodes. Which
how many are roughly?
There's 13 episodes.
And is it set up the premise of the show? Sorry.
So basically, if anyone's listening, is like, what is this 13 Reasons? It's this Netflix original. It's about a girl called Hannah Baker who commits suicide, and she leaves behind some cassette tapes for her friends. Well, not for her friends, for the group of people at her high school that essentially caused her to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And so she leaves, and there's 13 reasons, 13 sides of the tape about all the reasons, because essentially it's deeper than that. It's never one thing that goes, oh, it's like when 13 reasons collide on top of each other.
Yeah.
And it's like the escalation into...
They're all intertwined with each other as well, the people, the subjects of the tape, you know.
It's not based on the
true... Well, it's not based on a particular true story, but it's kind of a collective of all of the suicide circles and the cyberbullying, and it's bringing attention to the fact that nowadays in school there is major cyberbullying going on, and it's kind of as a warning sign to anyone to say, you never know, just sharing that nude or like just saying it's proper made me think about how you treat people, because
definitely.
You never know what's going
what's
on
at that point.
No. You don't know how they're going to take some tiny thing that you said,
that one little comment or that one little shitty thing could be the thing,
the trigger
that just tops the domino.
And when you're young, you're only as old as you are then, so you never know or see a way out. You never see another side.
There's
bad things that have happened to me in my past, like, you know, like breakups and makeups and whatever.
And at the time, it was like the end of the fucking world.
Like, I see these, I laugh, I'm like, I weren't even in love. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
But that's the thing, though.
It wasn't even a relationship. It's like a relation dinghy.
Relationship.
One thing that I looked at, so obviously it's quite a dark premise, but it's executed so well and so real. And so many people I've said, they said, I wish I could have watched that when I was going through high
definitely.
School.
Definitely.
So for anyone who's going through school now, it's great to watch. But anyone who's like left school and is like, oh, wish I could have. I would
look
have
back and feel ashamed of yourself.
Exactly. I would have related
and
to that
correct
a lot.
Your behaviour.
Yeah. I hear that, but that's what these kids have to remember. And I know we've all been there. And it's like you have to look back, and there's gonna come a time. And I said it to like younger like boys that I know in my area. Like, and I've seen them. I'm like, you're gonna be one day that you're gonna laugh. I remember one kid, my next door neighbour. He came to me, was upset. Oh, he's broken with his girlfriend. She did this. I did this. Whatever. You don't understand. Yeah. I'm like, mate.
You're gonna
mate.
Be
I said, watch. Come. They're gonna be in my garden laughing. Come next summer. I was in the garden laughing, cooking, and whatever. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there is always a time. Just be strong. Mm. And it's hard. It's easier said than done. But trust me, there will come a time where you will laugh.
Oh,
innit?
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Right, this is inspirational. I think we should have a section of the show, TJ, where you just like give advice.
Trust me.
And motivational. Yeah.
Trust me. I teach safeguarding as well. I do acting. I do fit and education stuff like that. And this whole thing, like with the NSPCC, they do things around about we're teaching adults. They do these cartoons, and it's more to inform adults about, you know, kids, you know, taking pictures, selfies, and all this, that and the other. And what the things kids don't know, they think it's bans, but then they can be put on the sex offenders list for sharing these photos. Mm. You crop it, and you crop a photo, then you get done for making an indecent image. You know, you can all these little things. So these kids have to be careful. It's fun and it's jokes. You might be in a bans, it might be whatever.
Yeah.
But when shit hits the fan, trust me. So the NSPCC, I do stuff around that
they're
as well.
Only getting harder. And like they're coming down on it harder and harder every year.
Exactly, it affects lives. But stick together, girls, as well. Like
I would absolutely recommend 13 Reasons Why.
Definitely.
It starts off great, and then there is a couple episodes in the middle where you are like, come on, get to the point,
and
get to the end.
It's also quite uncomfortable to watch at times as well.
Yeah,
and it's got a hell of a lot of shit. Backlash, hasn't it?
Yeah, because I think people are very uncomfortable talking about, because if that's exactly what the whole show is saying, is saying that shit,
it's not spoken
shit,
about.
Shit goes on, and schools don't do anything. It's kind of going, oh, you know, you'll be out of high school soon, and be like, no, it should be corrected. Measures
there
need
then,
to be put
in
place. Safety measures upon safety measures upon safety measures.
Yeah.
So that if once someone falls through, nobody should be falling through any loop.
No. I think everybody should watch it, no matter how they feel. Should,
yeah. Just to get your own opinion on it before you slate it. Just watch
absolutely.
It, and then you'll But I was crying my eyes out, because it just, especially the way they've done it, that you do it through the eyes of one boy. He's listening to all the tapes, so he's the one that's uncovering all the story, and then he's on the tape as well. But what is like just so upsetting? It's like a love story.
Yeah.
But it's like as if Romeo and Juliet, but if Juliet committed suicide and Romeo, and they fall in love
over the tapes and
oh my god,
it is heart wrenching. It really, really
is. And when
he
listens to his own tape, I was making those sobbing noises. They were in love. They were in love.
They should put a warning. It sounds like it should come with a pack of Kleenex
before they actually put warnings yeah. on Netflix. They say this show has graphic themes and graphic images, and there is actually because they show the suicide.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh my. Really graphically, like more. It? I don't think I've ever seen.
Although interestingly,
something like that on screen.
I read that in the book she lives.
Is it
really?
Yeah. So in the book, there are two different. So there's the original book, and then there's like a rewrite. Yeah. So the original book from like 2007, she lives. So the end of it is that she attempted to commit suicide, and then at the end she pops up and she's actually alive.
See, one of my friends actually said that to me. I was watching it ahead of her, and she was going, "I still think she's alive," and I was like, "I can't say anything. I'm just what are you talking about? Like that was stupid." And I can see why she would think that.
Yeah,
I could see how they could write that as well.
But so originally she was going to be alive, and then they obviously changed it, and then they decided to go with, which I think, I always want the happy ending, but actually. I think there's not always a happy ending, and it's for TV.
You know, TV sometimes has to be slightly different. They change things for more, like, you know, like for viewing value so on. I don't want to say for entertainment because it's not really entertaining, but you know, for viewing value, and it's one of those things. But I reckon this is sounds like a guy cry because that's a new thing.
It's a guy cry.
I ain't cried since what was the Will Smith and his son?
Pursuit of Happiness.
When he was in the toilet, I'm hard, but I was like a sponge.
Oh, damn.
You know, because when a sponge gets wet, it goes soft in it. But when it dry, it's hard, and I'm usually in a dry state. But I was wet, soggy. I was finished when it's so hard. I imagine myself being a father. Stop.
Yeah,
stop
it. I
will cry.
Let's move on.
It's getting hyper-emotional. But also another reason to watch it is like the music in it is just absolutely brilliant. Okay. So I'm going to play a little bit. My next sort of couple of songs are going to be from 13 Reasons Why. And we're going to start off with A Thousand Times.
Oh, lovely.
I love this song. Yeah. This is background.
I had a dream that you were mine. I've had that dream a thousand times, a thousand times, a thousand times. I've had that dream a thousand times. That you were mine.
recover now from thinking too much about 13 Reasons.
Yeah, that was
why.
Emotional. Oh,
that was deep, man. That was sad. Yeah. Sad.
So a film that is not as emotional is Alien Covenant.
Probably not emotional at all, is it?
Yeah, well, a little bit. You know, people do die.
It depends what planet you're from.
Well, yeah, that's true.
If you're Martian, you're going to be crying and sobbing.
So it's Alien Covenant, also known as Alien 5.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott. It was really good. I really wasn't expecting that much
good.
From it.
I'm glad. I love a bit of sci-fi.
I love sci-fi, one of my favourite genres ever. And it was just executed really, really well. And it's one of the... You see it in the cinema, guys.
Oh, I'm so excited. IMAX cinema. And everything, I'm going to go for it.
And don't be, if you're a bit of a sort of, if you're scared of horror or if gore's not really your thing, I could handle it and I am
and
not.
And that says a lot because Johanna can't handle it.
I can't handle anything.
Mush when it comes to horror.
I got through it and I was on my own watching it. So
oh, well done. Fun. Well, even better.
You'd get two gold stars now.
Yeah, gold stars for me.
So is it a prequel?
It is a sequel to Prometheus, which I think Prometheus is a prequel.
To everything.
It's so Star Wars.
They need to calm down.
But they do. You don't have to have seen Prometheus. They kind of give you a quick rundown, and you can kind of, you know, you don't have
to. Because to be fair, that film's boring.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that one. But it's got Michael Fassbender in it. It's
lovely.
Got Danny McBride, who lovely. I interviewed today, and we're going to be playing that next week. But the film was just brilliant and really, really clever. There's plot twists that everyone dies. It's just like a classic.
Lovely.
You know.
Wow.
They're on the and lots and lots of like twists and reveals, and I was fully awake through the whole thing.
Brilliant.
So it was really, really good.
I'm looking forward to that because I watched. They've got like a virtual reality trailer on the Samsung glasses thing,
oh, nice.
Which I've got, so you can kind of like watch this trailer and you're in it.
Oh wow!
Like, kind of, so it's really short, but it's good. Like,
oh, how cool.
And the alien comes out the back, and you're like, yeah, I've got to see this.
I actually did that VR today.
Yeah.
When I went to the press junket, they said, oh, would you like to do the alien VR?
Yeah.
And I was a little bit nervous because I did try VR the week before and I nearly shat myself. It was awful. I did this VR, amazing VR game where it was like dinosaurs are coming at you, waves of dinosaurs, what? And you've got to shoot the dinosaurs. And I kid you not, I had to rip the headset
God.
Off because my heart, I was shaking. And I went in there cocky as going, it's not even real.
It's computer, isn't it? Like?
And I quite like dinosaurs, so I'm fine.
Shoot yourself.
And then, so when you're in there and your brain just absolutely does not understand that you're not in there, and your brain, and I turned and I heard this thing and I turned around, there was a raptor right next to me and it went for me and I ripped off the headset. Anyway.
Oh my God,
so,
cool.
So when they said, do you want to do an alien one? I was like, I don't know. But then everyone else did, so I was like, to be a pussy, I'm gonna do it. But this was an ingenious one because you go into the VR and if you and you are the alien.
Oh wow.
So rather than
what
a twist. Even the VR's got a twist.
So you're the alien inside someone's body. You're like and you look down and around and you can see your legs and your arms and you see you growing. And then you can it's from the point of view of the alien. I think maybe
clever.
For the next movie they should twist it and it should be the alien side of the story.
Yeah.
They're just really bloody hungry.
Let's write that film. Exactly.
Subtitles, the whole film, but I'm down.
Yeah.
But I'm really raving about that. It was really, really good. And everyone in it was really, really good. And the main girl in it is... I was looking at her face through the whole thing going, who is she? I know her. Who is
I
she?
Know you.
She was the main lady in Fantastic Beasts. So if you're a fan of the...
I don't know her name, but I know
who you mean. Yeah, I don't remember her name either, but I know her face and she's in it and she's brilliant. And it really got me thinking about how I would try and fight an alien if I had to.
Wow.
Yeah, you should think about these things from time to time,
totally.
People. We should have a little, you know, what weapon are you going to have to hand?
Got to have a game plan.
Exactly, let's game plan this up. Mm-hmm. And the other movie that I got to see, which we're doing a competition of today, so
lovely.
Head over to @FooBarRadio if you want to win the Sleepless film Pink. Pack that we're going to win. You've got
the glasses,
t-shirt, key ring, wallet,
nice.
All that.
Get your whole Jamie Foxx on.
Yeah.
So Jamie Foxx starter pack.
So basically, Sleepless is one of those things where the name doesn't really do anything and it's not particularly related. I think it was because it was a French book called Blanche Nuit, which is like Sleepless Nights.
Lovely accent.
So, thank you. So I think, but they should have changed the title because it's a good movie. Again, like the editing's really good. They obviously got the best camera people, the best editing. The fight, it was a bit John Wick-y.
Like, oh, well, I like it then.
The guy got stabbed, shot, run over, and he's still going.
Yeah, yes, I'm about that line.
And it's a bit like, I looked at it and went, oh, it's a Black Taken, isn't it? Because it's about this guy who his 16-year-old son gets kidnapped.
Oh, it is, yeah.
And he goes rogue. And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
Sleepless, otherwise known as Black Taken. and it was good. You know, if you're into that, and if you just want one of those movies where, you know, you're not going to cry, you're not going to get too attached, you just want to watch.
Just to be entertained.
Shit.
Yeah, be entertained.
It's all about this, like, massive coke deal that's gone down and gone wrong, and it's got gangsters who are, like, double-crossing gangsters. And
it's got T.I. in it as well, isn't it? The rapper, T.I. the rapper.
Yeah. I love T.I. Yeah, T.I. He's got the most beautiful symmetrical face I've ever seen.
He's a tiny man, you know.
Is he?
He's really short. So is DMX. T.I. and DMX are short.
Like, how short?
I thought DMX was like a giant.
Short. No, DMX is short. Both of them are short.
Really?
You're just
shattering my world today, T.
No, I'm dropping some exclusive.
You are.
Most celebrities are a lot smaller than you think.
Yeah.
Like Kylie as well, isn't it?
Well, Kylie's
and
a dog.
And Kim Kardashian, she's meant to be really.
Oh, yeah, she's like 5'2".
Yeah.
I'm a giant in real life. So when I wear heels, I'm like 6 foot.
See, I'm a midget, so I do need heels.
I wish I was a midget sometimes.
No. You got that whole Amazonian thing going on, and like that goddess, thing going on. Ride it, own it, Johanna.
Yeah.
Own it.
Carry it well.
This last year's been the only year that I've really properly worn heels and gone, fuck
yeah. Yeah, fucking
trust.
I can see the train times above everyone.
Exactly.
I'm winning.
Yeah.
Winning. I'm just quickly going to pop back to our Twitter poll that we started earlier in the show. We asked people, what superhero film should they stop making? Just leave it, guys. And at the moment, it's looking like 42% Superman, 25% Batman, 17% Spider-Man, and 16% Avengers. So Avengers has gone right down. That was like really up earlier.
Hmm. I don't agree with the Superman thing.
Which one's getting buried?
Superman's going to get the cut at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't agree, everybody on Twitter.
I think
Spider-Man, they should just stop it now.
Stop making Spider-Man
How
movies.
Many more people do you want to play Spider-Man?
This Homecoming one looks all right, you know. I'm not backing you.
I'm excited for Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Hey, that little boy, he looks like some new
does.
Gravy.
He
I'm looking at him
good.
Like a packet of Bisto
Maybe
right now.
Maybe just erase Tobey Maguire out of it completely and then we can just start again.
We'll go round about. But I voted Batman for that one. I wouldn't mind if Batman goes.
Actually, there's been a lot, isn't there? Avengers, I'm going to get...
I like to see that all the superheroes are together in one film,
but
it's annoying.
They're going one step too far now.
Yeah, it's too much.
Age of Ultron was one step
too
far.
Too much. And I love X-Men, but I don't know if I need another one.
I think they're done now.
Yeah, I think they're done.
I'm never watching them ever again after Logan.
Yeah,
you know,
I did Logan,
I'm
and
done.
That's the end of it.
That's the end for me as well.
I hope so. But I mean, unless they get a really cool little Logan, like the boy from Spider-Man.
Or like the girl from Logan.
Yeah.
The little girl from Logan.
Something like this.
Okay. Oh my goodness, guys. We've come to land.
Whoa.
It's the end of the show, but we will be back next week, 4 p.m. Foobar Radio. It's Back Row and Chill. I hope you guys have a wicked weekend, whatever you're doing. Let us know, or tweet us to let us know if there is any films or TV shows that we should be checking out. If we've missed something, let us know, get involved. We're going to end with 13 Reasons Why, actually the end song of the whole thing.
The whole film.
It's by Selena Gomez, who was a co-producer on the whole, she co-produced.
Yeah. Her and her mum.
Selena Gomez.
Is it?
The Disney star. Yeah.
She's doing stuff.
And this is brilliant. This is a cover of Only You. Have a fantastic weekend, guys.
Looking from a window above, it's like a story of love. Can you hear me? Came back only yesterday. I'm moving further away. Won't you need me? All I needed was the love you gave. All I needed for another. All I ever knew, only you. Sometimes when I think of her name, when it's only a game, and I need you, listen to the words that you say. It's getting harder to stay when I see.
Only you. hesitate no more. Wonder if you'll understand. It's just the touch of your hand behind a closed door. And all I